Well, this morning we are concluding our sermon series entitled Muzzling Monsters, and the monsters we're talking about are the fears that we face. Let's say that you're back for the first Sunday. Please know you can pick up all the rest of this series online for free if you want to catch up. But so the monsters we're talking about this morning are fear of death and illness and aging. For some of us, that is our worst fear. So these are Jesus' words from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. Great words of comfort. Jane McAdams tells about her 69-year-old mother who had lived through the Great Depression, which had profoundly impacted her. She was always frugal with her spending as a result. Jane's mother was in the hospital diagnosed with cancer. And when Jane met with the doctors, her mother was given very little hope. Jane feared the moment when she would have to tell her mother that she was dying. Jane thought to herself, should I tell my mother? Did she already know? Her mother's birthday was approaching, so Jane bought her mother a new nightgown, something her mother would never have bought for herself. And when she presented the gift to her mom looked at the nightgown for the longest time and said, would you mind returning it to the store? I don't really want it. Jane was surprised by her mother's request. So she asked her, what would you like for your birthday? And her mother pointed to an advertisement for expensive designer summer purses. Jane admits to having disbelief at this. Why would her mother, so concerned with extravagant purchases, want an expensive summer purse in January? One that she possibly wouldn't use until June. Jane doubted that her mom would live through the spring, and let alone to the summertime. But then she came to the realization that what her mom really wanted to know was just how long her daughter thought that she would live. Jane went out and bought an expensive summer purse. She knew her mother well enough to know that if possible, her mom would not let it go to waste. Now, that was many years ago. The purse is worn out and gone. It's been replaced by a half dozen others. The gift of the purse gave her mom a true sense of hope. By the way, her mom just celebrated her 83rd birthday. Jane bought her, for her 83rd birthday, guess what? The most expensive designer purse she could afford. Yeah. We fear death, so we focus on our health. How many of you wear something on your wrist that tracks your steps and tracks your heart rate? Raise your hand. Obviously, I got one. A number of us. Many of us have an annual physical. And every once in a while, the doctor finds something wrong. We're also sometimes told about sicknesses we might have. Then there's advertising for medications that cause us to worry about other things we might get. Our imagination has a lot to feed on. When the American Cancer Society begins to raise money and sends out notices, it raises our fears about cancer. They advertise that 1 in 4 men die of cancer. 1 in 5 women die of cancer. So we all get worried about cancer. But there are mitigating factors. Non-smoking men only have a 15% risk of dying of cancer. Whew, sounds better, doesn't it? If you don't smoke. And actually, there is a 99.5% chance you will not die of cancer before age 60. That even sounds better, unless you're over 60. And most people die of cancer when they're over 70. That sounds even better, unless you're over 70. Cancer is still a serious issue, but it's not something we have to worry our whole life about. And most people who have cancer survive. There are effective ways to treat cancer, but we still fear. We worry about our health. Worry is imagining a negative future that may never happen. And we worry excessively. I think the choir kind of sang a song about that. By the way, it's why Jesus said in Luke 12:25, "Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life?" So Jesus is telling us, focus on the present. Don't worry so much about the future. Now, how do you actually do that? Try not to focus on the pain of the past. Try not to focus on the worries of the future, but instead stay in the present. Many counselors, by the way, recommend breathing. I think that's a good thing to breathe, don't you? But they recommend a breathing technique if you're always fearful and worrying. When you start to feel anxious, breathe in through your nose for 4 seconds. And then hold your breath for 4 seconds. And then breathe out for 4 seconds. I want you to try it with me. Now, it'll be harder for me because I'm going to do the counting for you. But you just try to do it. So breathe in through your nose, 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, 1,004. Hold it, 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, 1,004. Breathe out through your mouth, 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, 1,004. And do that several times. What it does is it focuses you on the present and gets all your worries off what's in the future. It can lower your blood pressure. It can anchor you right here in the here and now. By the way, do you know some watches tell you when to breathe? They do. My watch does that. When I first noticed that, I'm like, come on, I know how to breathe. But if you're stressing, that helps. Another tool is what's called breath prayers. Breath prayers can help us deal with worries. Breath prayers are simple, one-sentence prayers that you repeat many times in a day. You could pull it from the scripture, you could make it up. For example, God, I release my fears and embrace your presence. God, I release my fears and I embrace your peace. It could be something different, like, help me not to be afraid, O Lord. It could be, give me peace, O Lord. And just say it many times throughout the day, just to center yourself and remind yourself you can find strength in God. I read an article titled, How to Know When You're Getting Older. In case you don't know, this is what it said. Everything hurts. And what doesn't hurt doesn't work. Your contact list contains names with MD on the end. You get winded playing chess. You turn out the lights for economic reasons rather than romantic reasons. You sit in a rocking chair and you can't get it going. Yeah, you're in trouble. Your knees buckle, but your belt doesn't. Your back goes out more than you do. You walk with your head held high, trying to get used to your bifocals. You look forward to a dull evening. That may be too close to home for some of you, huh? We may fear growing old. Someone once said, aging is not for sissies. When we grow old, we might fear becoming irrelevant. We might think that things go downhill from here. So you might have a midlife crisis. It might be a small midlife crisis. You might go out and buy that sports car. I know nobody do that in this church, right? Or if it's really troubling you, you might have an affair. Or you might become addicted to something. Emil Ratelband recently petitioned a Dutch court to change his official date of birth. Ratelband wanted his official birth certificate to match his state of mental and physical fitness, in which he claims he feels 20 years younger than he actually is. Initially, he was motivated by online dating apps. Imagine that. I feel much younger than my age, Ratelband said. I feel young. I am in great shape. And I want this to be legally recognized because I feel abused, aggrieved, discriminated against because of my age. He added, and I am my identity. The court refused. People want to change their birth dates. Sometimes we also fear we're losing our mind. How many of you have forgotten somebody's name whom you've known for a long, long time? Nobody in here, I'm sure. How many of you have forgotten your keys? How many of you have forgotten what you went into the other room to get? And then you went back to that room and you remembered. What is in that room that causes you to remember? I have no idea. How many of you ever gotten into the car and forgotten where you're going? Or you walk into the store and you don't remember what you went to buy. You might have wondered, do I have early Alzheimer's disease? By the way, raise your hand if you ever thought you might have early Alzheimer's because of any of that. Some of you are like this. No, raise them high because I want you to look around. There's a lot of people in this boat. The chance of having early Alzheimer's is 0.5% before the age of 60. It's not likely. But we worry. We may be worried that our older years are going to be sad and unhappy. But in retirement, guess what? You get to do the things that God wants you to do. You get to mentor people, minister to people. You're free to volunteer. You're free to go places you'd never thought of going before. Why not go? I mean, our last years are meant to be our greatest years. I mean, if you read through the Bible, God uses people in their retirement. I have people that sometimes say to me, Pastor, I know you asked me to do this, but I'm retired. You can retire from a career, but you can't retire from ministry. If you don't believe me, you need to go read your Bible. I think of Abraham and Sarah, Moses, Elijah the prophet. These people did their greatest work in their senior adult years. Are you anticipating that? Are you open to that? Are you willing to allow God to do that with you? Is God leading you and guiding you? Author James Michener was over 80 years of age when he wrote his epic book, Alaska. 80. You can see it was a substantial undertaking. This is not a large print book. And his rule is, before he writes any book about anything, he must go there and live. That's his rule. I've read many of his books. And he'd been thinking about writing this book for 40 years. You know why he waited so long? I mean, this explanation seems ridiculous. But at age 40, he was afraid he might be too old to withstand the rigors of the Alaskan wilderness, which hovers about 50 degrees below zero along the Yukon River. Thus, he shied away from writing this book. And the long years passed between 1947 and 1984, with him often thinking about moving to Alaska, but drawing back with fear and saying, "I'm too old." Then, ironically and irrationally, after a heart attack, a quintuple bypass just before his 80th birthday, he thought, "You know, if I'm ever going to do that Alaska book, it's about time I do it." And he moved to Alaska at 80. And he proceeded to dig in every little corner of Alaskan life. He spent one Christmas above the Arctic Circle, a week in Eagle, Alaska, with a thermometer at minus 52. He visited Prudhoe Bay and Barrow, where the Eskimos go to hunt whales. He took a cruise through the Aleutian Islands and walked in hip boots onto 8 of them. He studied the salmon industry, he explored the glaciers, and he made friends with kids in an Eskimo school. The experience so delighted him. You know what he said? "I wish I'd done this 40 years ago." Some of us are afraid. We're afraid of death. Maybe of that moment when we cease breathing. The scriptures teach us clearly that that's the beginning of life. And that this life is just a preface for the life to come. This life is all about learning how to trust God and believe in God, so that when we die, we have a home in heaven. Death is not the end. What happens on the other side is glorious. Jesus said, it's kind of like a wedding banquet, a glorious reception that goes on and on and on with your family and your friends. And Jesus says, "Well, I go to prepare a way for you." Now, how do we really know this? Well, Jesus was crucified. And at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he died. And they buried him in a tomb. And on the third day, he rose from the dead. Easter is God's way of saying he knows that we are afraid of death. But he does not want us to be afraid of death. God is saying, "Let me show you that my son rose from the grave, and so you have nothing to fear." Jesus even talked about it in John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." 1 Corinthians 15:54. when this perishable body puts on the imperishability and this mortal body puts on the immortality, then the saying that is written will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory. You realize what a surprise that is? I know we're all used to hearing it over and over and over in the church, but it really surprised the disciples on Easter morning. And when Jesus appeared to them later, in the book Healing Where It Hurts, James Moore reports that a Dutch pastor and his family got into big trouble with the Nazis during World War II. The family had been hiding Jews in their home. One night in the darkness, they heard the sound of heavy boots and a loud, impatient knocking on their front door. Their crime had been discovered and they were arrested at gunpoint. That night, they were placed in a cattle car, and all night long, they rode in heartbreaking anguish, jostling against each other and other prisoners who were also jammed into that car. And they were absolutely terrified. They knew they were going to die in one of Hitler's extermination camps. Finally, as the sun came up, the train stopped. The doors of the cattle cars were opened and they were marched out. The guards lined them up on the railroad tracks, and the pastor's family looked at one another, knowing that they would soon be separated from each other and led off to certain death. But in the midst of their gloom, they discovered some news that was too good to be true. News beyond belief. They discovered in the bright morning sunlight that they were not at a death camp at all. They were not even in Germany. They were in Switzerland. During the night of terror, some courageous and daring person had tripped a switch on the track and sent the train to Switzerland and freedom. So instead of being sent to certain death, they were welcomed to new life and they were set free. Can you imagine the surprise in that? That's the surprise that the disciples felt on the day of the resurrection. I think of the thief who was crucified with Jesus. He was very uncertain about what would happen to him after death. So he made a request of Jesus. Hey, Jesus, when you come into heaven, would you remember me? And Jesus responded, you will be with me in paradise. The train ended up going a different direction, to new life, to salvation. What a surprise for that thief. As we grow older, there are still possibilities for our life. God still has promise for us. And when we die, what a glorious place heaven will be. That's why we can live with courage and hope and not be afraid in the face of death. Amen.